When it comes to equity in school funding, Illinois ranks last among all 50 states. So over the summer, various groups of lawmakers have been meeting with stakeholders trying to come up with a plan that will send state dollars to the school districts that genuinely need help. Brent Clark has been attending all those meetings.
If you've got a panel or a discussion going on school funding, we're there.
He's executive director of the Illinois Association of School Administrators, and the plan he favors over all the others is called the evidence-based model. This plan has garnered bipartisan support, including an endorsement from Governor Bruce Rauner. I asked Clark to explain both parts of the model. First, how it determines the amount of state funding each school needs, and second, how it distributes those dollars.
The way the evidence-based funding model works is you look at what the evidence or the research over time has proven works. There's 27 elements that go into the evidence-based funding model. Then those elements are overlaid on a school district's enrollment and their demographics, recognizing that it takes more dollars to help with students that are low income or poverty students. It takes more dollars to help with students that are English learners.
Time out. So the 27 metrics, give people listening a couple of examples. I know one of the top ones is class size.
Class size is certainly one of them, but one that has enormous return on investment is instructional coaches.
So that's teacher coaches. That's people to coach teachers.
It's taking really your best and most effective teachers and putting them in a different role in your school to help bring the performance of their colleagues up.
To me, that's probably the most novel thing on your list of 27. A lot of the other things on the 27 metrics are kind of, yeah, that's what we'd be doing if we had money anyway, right?
You know, it's not really shocking to read the list. It's the things that we know that works. We think it's a smart play for Illinois to go down that path and for once put our money in a model to fund schools doing things that we know that works.
So I stopped you. There's the 27 metrics and there's the different kinds of demographics. Then what?
So you take your 27 elements or 27 metrics and you overlay that against a district's enrollment and a district's demographics. And because of their variation of enrollment and demographics, you're going to produce a number of what you call in our industry full-time equivalents. Really, that's just full-time teaching positions, right? And then we take that times the operational average for a teaching position in Illinois, and that gives you a cost total for that district. You divide that cost total by the number of students in that district, and you get a per-student adequacy target. In other words, if you had those dollars, you could educate that student to an adequate or sufficient level.
But doesn't it also include like librarians and school nurses and things like that, or no?
It includes librarians. There's even some components in there for some behavioral social specialists. There's some room for some of that. Certainly counselors. It has all of the elements of, again, things we know that works.
And that's your adequacy target.
It's what would comprise the cost of the adequacy target. And the adequacy target is something that I think is largely agreed upon across the commission. You do not get a lot of pushback on how we're getting to the adequacy target. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Then there's the distribution part of it.
So let's just for a moment say that your adequacy target per student is $10,000, okay? But let's say that you're spending $5,500. So you would be spending less than 60% of your adequacy target because $6,000 would have been 60% of your adequacy target. So if you're spending less than 60% of your adequacy target, you would fall into what we call tier one. Okay, if you're spending between 60% and 90% of your adequacy target, you would fall into tier two. If you're spending between 9,000 and 10,000, you'd fall into tier three. And if you're spending above your adequacy target, which would be spending more than $10,000, if that was in fact your district's adequacy target, you'd fall into tier four. So each district would be put into a quartile based on what they're spending on per student operational averages compared to what their adequacy target is per student. And then that determines the way that they would receive any new state money going forward.
And then the way you distribute any new dollars is like there's four buckets and you water the first bucket and then you...
But let's just say the state says, hey, we're going to put 100 new dollars into our public schools this coming year. Under this distribution method, the districts that are in Tier 1 would share the first $33 out of that $100, okay? The districts in Tier 1 and Tier 2 would share the next $66 out of that $100. Okay, so now at this point, we've spent $99 out of our $100 in districts in Tier 1 and Tier 2, those districts that are the furthest away from adequacy. So now we've got $1 left. The districts in Tier 3 would get 90 cents of that dollar. So now we've got a dime. Then the dime goes to the districts that are in Tier 4. So everybody gets a something, but those that are the poorest, those that are the furthest away from their adequacy target, get the lion's share of new state resources.
Okay, so the question I hear the most is, where's the spreadsheets, though? Because every district wants to know, how are we going to come out under this evidence-based model? And to my knowledge, there's not an official set of spreadsheets.
Official being the key word, right? So we certainly have run the numbers for every district in the state of Illinois. In fact, we've run them a variety of ways. And we're looking at various variables within what I've described to you today to see how they're going to affect the numbers as they run across the district. What I can assure you of is this. In all of the runs, there's no one losing money. Now, the reason we have held up on releasing those numbers is when you're trying to introduce a new formula, if you release multiple data runs and there's any variance, it seems to cut at your credibility.
You get accused of being political.
Political, manipulative, whatever negative connotative word there is out there, and it starts to become a muddy, fuzzy, confusing mess. So we are purposefully withholding the public release. We want the commission to do its work and then allow the State Board of Education itself to run the numbers and then at the appropriate time release those numbers. We're also not going to jeopardize the plan by prematurely releasing those numbers in the fall of 16 when we don't think the bill will really come till probably sometime in 17.
Like when in 17?
The commission's not scheduled to adjourn until February 1st, which would make you think, well, there's probably going to be a bill that follows that and hopefully voted on in the spring session and hopefully done by the end of May. However, there is a school of thought that with the lame duck session coming up immediately after the election, it starts in January, there's about a 15 to 20 day window there. I would not rule out the potential for maybe a mega package to be put together. We need revenue in this state. We need a school funding formula. We need some other things to help drive businesses as well. There's maybe a well-rounded package that could be put together in the lame duck session when it requires a lower threshold to pass packages. Also, people that will not be returning to the General Assembly and will be willing to take some votes that they might otherwise not be willing to take.
Then the really hardest question is, how much does it cost? And there's not a firm answer to that. It's however much we want it to cost, right?
Well, there's some recommended investments, right? The more you invest, the quicker you get them to their adequacy numbers. We have suggested that it's going to take about $500 million a year over 10 years to do what we think in terms of closing out Tier 1 and Tier 2 and getting everyone at least Tier 3. If we did get into a couple years where we couldn't sustain that type of investment, then the model is scalable so that whatever the investment is, if it was a $50 million instead of $500 million, it would still scale and be distributed on that same model that we talked about earlier with the four funding tiers.
Reporting for the Education Desk, I'm Dusty Rhodes.